Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Only you can satisfy. heart to see. Only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need you've got, there's honey in the rock. Freedom, where the spirit is, bounty. In the wilderness, you will always satisfy. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock, harvest in your bread, power in the blood, healing in your head. Flowing when you said it is done. Everything you did's enough. I keep looking, I keep finding. You keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need.
Great I am. Chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. I want to talk to you today about a principle called the cumulative effect. Cumulative effect. And when you hear the word cumulative, I want you to think of a gradual building up of. A gradual building up. It's something that doesn't happen all at once, right? It's not this one big moment or this one big event. It's instead about gradual additions. Think of how snowflakes add up to make snow, right? It's not like that chunk of snow just comes down. Sometimes it appears that way, but it's about all those snowflakes adding up. It's the small things that build up in our lives over time. This is the cumulative effect. We, who we are, our relationships, our finances, our health, our spirituality. All of these things are greatly impacted by this principle. And I think it's more so than we even realize. Let me give you some examples. I don't know about you, but every time that I get my credit card bill, right, and open it up, I'm expecting like a $200 bill. And every time it's over $1,000 on my bill. We pay it off. But I'm always shocked at what's there. And so immediately I start to scrutinize it and look through it, and I'm looking for, okay, when did it get stolen and who charged the big screen TV on it, right? But lo and behold, it's not about those big purchases. It's these little purchases over and over and over that add up to that $1,000 bill. Gas prices don't help with that, right? We all know about those. But it's a cumulative effect. Here's the thing, though. It can work against you, but it can also work for you. And that's the exciting thing that we really want to look at today. Think of our relationships, right? The little things in our relationships add up over time in good ways or, unfortunately, in bad ways. A hug and a purposeful conversation with our spouse every day can have a big impact over the course of a month or a year, right? A real conversation where you stop and ask your spouse how they're doing, how's life treating them, and really genuinely stop and hear and listen to what they say. This principle adds to every area of our lives. We often end up being defined by the easy things that we do and the easy things that we don't do. They both define us over time. Does that make sense? Keep this in mind as we go through this passage, right? Galatians 6, beginning at verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Right before this in Galatians chapter 5, Paul has just talked about the fruits of the Spirit. He talks about the seeds that come by or through the Spirit. These seeds will produce amazing things in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, right? But in Galatians 6, he's going to warn us that there are other seeds that we plant. And when we plant those seeds, make no mistake, there will be a harvest from them, right? There will be a harvest. Verse 7 starts off, don't be deceived. Hey, don't kid yourself, right? Don't kid yourself. Don't fool yourself. God cannot be mocked. You cannot trick God's universal laws that he puts into place. A man or a woman reaps what they sow. What you put in, you're going to get out, right? God has built this into the universe. You reap what you sow. Some other religions might call this karma, right? We see this in the first chapter of the Bible, though. God explains it in natural terms in the law of sowing and reaping in the creation account. Genesis 1, beginning at verse 11, says this, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Simple concept that we're going to deal with today. Simple concept. But I think the cumulative effect is life-changing for us. It's one of those huge, impactful things. So if you're taking notes, number one, the seed you plant matters, right? If you have ever had a garden or if you've ever planted crops, you know that if you want corn, you plant corn. You don't plant beans, right? We all know this, but at the same time, we all act surprised when we plant beans and get beans when we wanted corn. Does that make sense? We all act surprised when we get what we put into the ground. Do you know what I mean? Hosea 10, beginning at verse 13, says this, but you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. What did you think would happen in that circumstance, right? We act surprised and we don't understand how when we sow seeds of anger, we reap alienated affections, right? alienated relationships. Look at the health of our culture. None of us should be surprised by the health of our culture, by the foods that we take up and that we eat and that we put into our bodies and those habits and the lack of exercise that's going on. Paul says, don't be misled. Don't be deceived. Quit kidding yourself, right? Many people are tossed by the storms of this life. They're just absolutely tossed because they simply do not have that foundation that's built on the Word of God. They know it, but they haven't built the foundation underneath them, right? Easy things to do, easy things not to do. Are you in God's Word? That'd be a great question for you this morning. Every day you contribute to the foundation, to your foundation of your life. And you either add concrete and stone, or that's found in God's Word, or you add sand from things like social media. You choose, right? Why are we shocked when we're full of anxiety and yet have no real quiet time? Why are we shocked when we continue to struggle with sin and have no quiet time, day in and day out? Simply ask yourselves, what seeds are you planting or what seeds are you not planting, right? You ever notice as Christians, we pretend we're planting the right seeds? We all know the words to say to tell everybody else about the seeds that we're planting. But here's the thing. People often can't see the seeds that are going into the ground. They can't see the quiet time or the lack of quiet time. But it's very obvious when those plants come out of the ground what fruit we're producing. And a lot of times with Christians, it doesn't match what we say. We know the talk, but our walk doesn't match what comes up. What in the world? How did this apple tree come up, right? Where did that come from? I planted a pear tree. You know, when we tend to do this, what happens in our society is we tend to blame other people when our harvest isn't what we wanted or what we intended, right? When I was a youth pastor, number one prayer at that time for me when kids were asking for prayer requests was, hey, I've got a test coming up, or I'm trying to get this grade up and everything like that. And I would always come back to them after it, and I would be like, you know, how did your test go? What kind of grade did you get on that? And if they got a bad grade, there was usually an excuse that went along with that, right? Well, you know, the teacher didn't prepare us right, and you know, somehow I got this bad grade. It was never, I didn't study. I didn't put in the time. I didn't really make an effort, right? It was always the teacher's fault with that. That's our society today. It's never the kids in sports fault. It's the coach's fault. It's the umpire's fault. There was a guy in California who had this city dump truck, and he was driving around, and he backed into this car. The guy's name was Curtis Gokey. And it damaged this car pretty good. Gokey sued the city for $3,600 for damaging his car. He claimed that the city hadn't properly trained the driver of this dump truck. The driver of the dump truck, though, his name was Curtis Gokey, right? He sued the city because he said that the city didn't train him well enough to handle the dump truck that he was driving when he backed up into his car. That's us, right? That's us. We're all about blaming everyone. It's never our fault. It's never the stuff that's coming out of the ground that we plant, right? It's never our fault. We put something else in there, but out it comes, right? Why do we kid ourselves? God cannot be mocked. Why do we act all surprised when the harvest comes out different, right? Sometimes we plant two seeds at once, right? On the way to the gym, we're finishing off our fast food meal, or maybe after the gym, we stop and get that blizzard sundae from some ice cream place. Let's not be shocked if we're planting two types of seeds and one seed chokes out the other seed, right? Let's not be shocked if we're having a quiet time and yet at the same time we're watching stuff on TV that we shouldn't be watching. Let's not be surprised when that one seed gets choked out but by the other. Galatians 6, 7 through 8, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. The law of sowing and reaping can go in two different directions, right? We sow to please the flesh, we're going to get the flesh. We're going to get those temporary things that just rust and are destroyed, right? But if we sow to please the Spirit, that's when we get the eternal. That's when we see the eternal, right? Look at the first two words in verse 8. It says this, whoever sows. In other words, the seed won't be planted unless there is a planting, right? We can't just be people who read the Bible and think that it will magically change us, right? We can't look at a discipline like fasting and just think that by giving up food that it will cause this magical thing to happen where it changes something else that's going on in our lives. No, we actually have to sow in order to reap. We have to do what God's word says. We have to allow it to guide our pathway, to mold us. We can't just read it, right? A lot of us know what we need to be doing, what God has called us to do. We had the seeds, but we aren't planting them. We're not putting them in the ground. We know we should forgive, right? But do we forgive? We know we shouldn't cheat, but do we cheat? We know that we should serve, but are we serving? We all know that we should not give up meeting together. That's in the Bible, right? And yet, look at our attendance. Half the people show up on a typical Sunday. We aren't sowing. We aren't putting it into the ground. Matthew 7:24 says this, it is a wise man who hears these words of mine and then does what? Puts them into practice. It's not just hearing. It's planning it. It's putting it into practice, right? Prior to marrying Adavi, I liked watermelons, so I bought watermelon seeds, right? And I thought, man, this would be great if I could just have some watermelon pretty often. But then I found out you have to, like, have a garden. You have to till the ground. You have to prepare that ground. You have to plant them. You have to maybe water them. You gotta weed the garden, right? You got to take care of that thing. And then you got to wait 4 months for those watermelon to be ready. So you know what I did? I stuck the seeds back in the junk drawer, right? Way too much work for that. Here's the thing, though. I literally remember opening that junk drawer months later and seeing those seeds in there. And I didn't get mad when they didn't just magically turn into watermelon, right? Because I knew I hadn't planted them. I hadn't done the things that I should have with them, right? I didn't get frustrated that they weren't all grown up. I think sometimes in Christianity, we have those expectations from God, from the disciplines that we do, where we're doing the things, but we're not doing the things. We're not planting the seeds, right? Do me a favor. Don't get frustrated at God when you aren't giving the harvest you think you should, but you aren't planting what you know you should, right? Don't get frustrated at God with that. When you plant the seeds that you know you shouldn't be planting and you reap that harvest that comes from that. Until those things get put into practice, right, nothing changes. What seeds do you have to plant? And are you planting the ones that you should be, right? Truth number three, there is something about sowing and reaping that can be really scary or really awesome. And it's this thing that even takes the cumulative effect even further, right? What we sow up adds up over time. What we sow adds up over time. It accumulates. But there's also something more. You see, we always or usually reap more than we sow. That's the benefit of sowing and reaping, right? You plant an apple seed, you're not just going to get an apple from it. You're going to get an apple tree that produces a bunch of apples, right? You can get that comes in year after year from there on out just by planting that one apple seed. There was a book that came out in 1996 called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and I'm sure we've all either heard that or said that ourselves or communicated. It might be helpful advice for what you're dealing with, not to sweat the small stuff, but it's really bad advice for the things that you sow in life. Those small, insignificant, seemingly insignificant decisions and choices and actions, over time, they build up. They heap up, right? They start to define who we are. They also, though, have the potential to get multiplied over time, right? One small lie turns into two, turns into three. We often don't realize it at the moment, but it's all building up. It's all multiplying. It's all defining who we are, the type of person that we are. Be careful with the little things. Be careful with them. We have this tendency to, at least I do, to rationalize things. And I often will say, it's not that big of a deal, right? You know, listening to this type of music doesn't really impact me. I've purposely not sown secular music into our kids' lives. I don't play it. We don't play it, right? We leave it on K-Love or 97.7. Because there is a message in secular music that is often, not always, often contrary to the Word of God. And I know that by listening to it, it'll plant seeds in their lives. I wish I could stand up here and say I do the same thing with TV and with them, but no, I've not done as good a job with that. I've not done a good job with myself. I rationalize watching way too many things on TV that I probably shouldn't. And we have to realize, though, stuff adds up. Stuff adds up over time, and it has the potential to multiply. Will it multiply every time? No, not every time. I'm not saying that. But what if it does multiply? Right? I think every one of us has dealt with some kind of addiction in our life that started off with one time and then became two times and then became three times, and before we knew it, we couldn't stop it, right? It always starts off small. Let us not underestimate the little things, right? They add up and they can also multiply. Verse 8, whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Okay, let's flip it. All right? Kind of been a little negative. What would happen, though, if you focused in on sowing to please the Spirit? Sowing by the Spirit, right? What would happen if you started spending time in God's Word every morning and planted the seeds from God's Word in your life, right? The challenge this year that we started, if you remember at the beginning of this year, was to read through the Bible this coming year. And I know there are people that have not only been through it once already, but twice, right? There are people that have gone through it multiple times already. That's awesome. And I hope that everybody accomplishes that this year. Take that as a goal for your life, right? It's not too late. But I hope that we're also not just reading it to check the box off the list, but we're also taking the time to listen to it, to allow it to affect us, to take the seeds that we're getting from it and to plant them in our lives, right? If we're just reading through the Bible to check off the list and we're not applying it, right, what good is that? What will that help, right? Here's the thing. It's easy to wake up 30 minutes early every day and have a quiet time. It's easy not to, though. Wake up 30 minutes early and have a quiet time. It's easy to, when you're reading, just to read it to check the box. It's also easy to read it and pray and seek God's wisdom and seek God's hand and seek God's direction for what we are reading it. What if you took the time every day to meditate on God's Word? What if we did it more than once a day, morning and night, right? It's easy to spend time in prayer talking to God. It's easy not to do that, though, right? Could you imagine what would come, though, if you did? What would come from doing these things? Could you imagine the cumulative effect after a month, after 3 months? Could you imagine the cumulative effect and multiplication after a year? You've been through the Bible, right? You're applying the Word of God to your lives. What if you're in year 10, right? What would be the effect? My mom read the Bible to me every day, morning and night. And I know that's why I'm here, right? She planted the seeds. And then she taught me to do it. And what my butt if I didn't do it, right? Cumulative effect over time. It pays huge dividends. That's why we wanted to give you the gift that we did, graduates, because we want you to look to the Word of God. We want you to have that guide, right? That foundation for your life, because we know life's hard. You lose moms and dads, right? Things happen. You lose jobs. But if you have the foundation in place, you can weather those storms a lot better than if you don't, right? I bet the thing that you struggle with, you wouldn't struggle with if you're in year 5, reading and applying the Word of God to your life. It's easy to do. It's easy not to do. If you play sports, you know the cumulative effect is true, right? You know you reap what you sow, what amount of time of practice that you put in, it pays dividends and you get better and you come through that, right? You put in that time, you actually practice, you make room for it, you will grow. You don't, you won't. You don't, you won't. What would happen in your marriage, right, to your relationship? If you really examined the seeds that you were sowing into your relationship. Ladies, are you sowing seeds of respect? That's what your husband wants from you, right? Well, my husband doesn't deserve respect, so I'm going to sow these other seeds. Hey, guess what? You will reap what you sow. If you do not sow in respect, you will not reap respect, right? What about men? Do we sow seeds of cherishing our wives in there? Well, I would if my wife did this, right? Men, don't be surprised when the seeds that you sow, you also reap, right? Don't be surprised if you don't cherish your wife and she wants nothing to do with you. What we reap, we sow. What we sow, we reap. How about that? Sow what you'd like to see. And give it enough time to take root and come up. Some of you are probably hearing this message and it really frustrates you. You see, you've been planting good seed. You've been planting the right seed for a long time, but you haven't seen the harvest that should come from those seeds. Verse 9 is for you. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Right now, you feel worn out, you feel tired, you feel weary, right? You feel like you've been doing all the things that you should be getting and putting in that time and effort, but nothing is happening. Nothing is bearing fruit from that. You aren't seeing what you're putting in the ground. You feel like saying, what's the point, God? Right? Paul says, don't grow weary and doing what God's called you to do. Just keep doing it. Because at a certain time, at the proper time, at the right time, in due time, right, you're going to reap a harvest. Can you hear that today? If you need to hear that, you will reap a harvest. That is if, you don't give up. You ever hear about Chinese bamboo? Andrew, you need to write Chinese bamboo in your Bible. Just write it. Write it right in there. After it's planted, this bamboo, it takes 5 years for it to come up. Can you imagine being a Chinese bamboo farmer, right? Can you imagine buying these seeds first of all and then planting them? And could you imagine being married to somebody, right? And you plant them and you're waiting the first year and nothing's happening and your spouse comes up and is like, what in the world did you buy, right? maybe giving you a hard time about that. Maybe it's year two. You're still putting all the work in. You're doing everything that you can. And your neighbor comes over and says, did you really plant it? Maybe you thought you planted it, but maybe you didn't. But you know you did, and so you keep going with it. Year three, year four, maybe the in-laws come over, right? And they're like, maybe you planted it upside down, the seed. I don't know. You know, you did something, you know. I don't know about your invisible bamboo farm, but it just doesn't seem like it's working out. It can be frustrating. And that can be the point where you give up, right? When you're becoming a minister, you'll have frustrating moments. You got a 5-year process, a 6-year process, right? All of you, if you're in ministry, if you're doing the things that you should do, there are those seasons where you planted the seeds and nothing's coming up. You think nothing's happening, but here's what's happening with that bamboo, right? The root system is growing deeper and far. It's building, right? And in year 5, the seed or the fruit of that, the bamboo actually starts to come up. And within a matter of 6 months, it can grow 80 feet up into the air because it has that root structure in place. You don't see it, but there's something going on over those years, and at just the right time, right, it can come up. Bamboo can grow a meter in a day, 3 feet in a day. It's amazing. Right? Some of you, you're in year 3. You're in year 4, and it just feels like it's taken way too long to see the harvest, to see the benefit of all this thing that you're doing. You're questioning yourself. You're questioning God. Lord, you are not coming through. I've been praying about this. I've been planting these seeds, right? And it's just not happening, and I'm very frustrated. And that's, like I said, the point at which some people stop. They give up. And they miss the harvest. Don't give up. Keep the faith, right? Keep moving forward in that. Keep praying. Prayer is what cultivates the ground. Prayer is what keeps you in the game, right? Don't do it on your own strength. Paul was frustrated with the church in Galatia because that was their story. Galatians 3:3, it says this, "Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human efforts?" Right? Do you remember the story of Abraham when he was told he would have a son? Do you remember how what they did and how they tried to go around God's plan and what that resulted in? Right? That's us. We have God's word. We have the plan that we're supposed to be doing. We're told to wait, but sometimes we take our own course of action on it. We set our own path and we miss reaping the godly harvest. Can I challenge you with that? Can I challenge you today to keep in step with the Holy Spirit? Keep following Him. Keep trusting Him. Trust the root growth. Trust that there are things going on that you cannot see with that person that you've been praying for, with your spouse that you've been praying for, right? With the seeds that you've been planted. Examine the seeds you're planting, because some of you say you're planting good seeds. Some of you say you're planting seeds of respect, but you're really not. Maybe you planted it for a little bit, but it didn't work out, and so you quit doing it. Take a look at it, but if you are, give it time. Let the roots grow and trust that the Word of God is the Word of God, and that what it says will happen, right? What seeds are you planting? What seeds are you planting with your spouse? What seeds are you planting with your kids? Huge, right? What seeds are you planting with yourself? What are those seeds? Are they good seeds? Are they bad seeds, right? Are you planting seeds that you know you shouldn't be? Be careful with that. Sometimes as a pastor, I feel like a dental hygienist, right? Like, you go to them and they always tell you, oh, you got to floss your teeth daily. That's what they always tell you. I told you the story of how this started out, right? For 40 years, I've heard that message from my dental hygienist. And I remember trying to floss, trying to start that off because, like, maybe there's something to it, right? But it hurts your gums when you start off. It doesn't feel good, so what do? You quit flossing. You quit doing that. It's probably like some of you, you started that Bible thing really good, but you got the Numbers. You got the Leviticus, and you're like, what in the world am I reading here? Yeah. I know that you have those things. And maybe you quit doing it, right? This year, I kept going with the flossing after the time that I went to my hygienist regularly. And I couldn't wait to go back to the floss Nazi, right? Because that's what she always said to me. Are you flossing? Are you flossing? Right? I wanted to see if she would notice that I actually started flossing. And we sat down and we had some small talk and she goes, and I'm sure you've been flossing all this time. And she said it sarcastically. She said it like I hadn't been doing it. I'm like, well, actually, I have been doing it. Thank you very much. Right? I have been flossing all the time. And I knew she didn't believe me. I knew because it got really quiet and she was like, oh, we'll see you here in a minute. Right, if you've been telling the truth or not. And sure enough, we went through that time of cleaning, and apparently my gums weren't bleeding like they normally do, right? And that's what happens when you floss. And she goes, you weren't kidding. You actually have been flossing, right? And I'm like, yeah. And I told her the story. I said, you know, I kind of felt like a hypocrite because here I am as a pastor, and I'm telling people, read the word, apply the word, go to church, do these things, give, serve, right? And I know the majority don't listen, don't do it. And I was just like them when you were telling me to floss. But I said, you know what? God convicted me of that. And so I started flossing. And that was the result. Some of you have been in this place a long time. You've heard the things. Read your Bible. But you don't. It's easy to do. It's easy not to do. Some of you have heard a pastor tell you you should go to church regularly. It's easy to do. It's easy not to do. Some pastors even tell you that you should give. It's easy to do. It's easy not to do. What seeds are you planting in your life? Right? What seeds? Like, I see some of you and you get tossed and tossed and tossed, and you'll come up to me and you'll say, you know, this is happening to me. And my answer is, do you have a quiet time? Are you spending time in God's word? And your answer is no. And I feel like the dental hygienist who's saying, floss your teeth. Floss your teeth, people, right? Put it into practice. Keep going with it. Don't stop after that first week, after that first month. Keep going with it. Allow the roots to grow and see the benefit that comes from that foundation. Amen? Young people, man, I wanted to preach this, especially for you graduates, because you got to floss your teeth. You got to be in the Word. You got to build your life on it. Otherwise, you're going to be tossed and turned. Life is hard. Life is filled with pain. Life is filled with storms. Right? But you can have a rock that you can cling to. You can have a solid foundation to build your life upon. And then no matter what happens to you, no matter what comes your way, right, you're going to be in that refuge. That's what I want for my kids. I want them to have that solid foundation because I know they're going to experience horrible things. Right? We all will. Have that foundation in your life. Right? I want to tell you again, watch what you plant. I want to especially hit on married people today. Watch what you plant. Be careful with that. You will reap what you sow. Don't kid yourself. Don't pretend that you aren't planting that thing that you are telling yourself you're not. You're going to reap it, right? Quit kidding yourself. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. What do you want to see in your spouse? What do you want to see in your kids? Plan it, right? What do you want to see in your life? Plan it. Sow it. Give it time, right? And trust God's word that it will come to a harvest. Amen? Stand with me. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, these things are easy to do. They really are to have a quiet time. They're easy not to do, though. Don't kid yourself if you're not going to do it. Don't kid yourself, right? You will reap a harvest that comes from that. Don't kid yourself with your spouse. What do you want to see, right? What do you want to see with yourself? Man, this is an awesome, like, we think of this as negative, but what do we have the chance to build here? What do we have the chance to build in our own lives? What do we have the chance to stand out on faith with and trust God with? This is an awesome time. This is a time where we need to be mending the nets. This is a time where we need to be going and gathering jars and waiting for God to pour into them, right? This is an awesome time. This is an awesome time if you're graduating, if you'll do it. Because what you sow, you will reap. Use it to your advantage, right? Use the cumulative effect to your advantage. Use what multiplies to your advantage. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your laws, Lord. Father, help us to quit kidding ourselves. Help us to truly look in our own lives. What are we sowing into? Don't let us fool ourselves. Lord, would you just remind us of the scripture passage next time we want to rationalize something to ourselves, next time we want to say something to ourselves? Would you just remind us what we sow, we will reap? Lord, would you help us to use that to our advantage? Lord, let us be a church that sows into a community, not just ourselves, not just the people in here, but sows into people in the community light. So is your word, Lord. Go with us. Put somebody in our path that doesn't know about you. Lord, give us an opportunity to share the good news with them. Lord, we love you and we give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen.